So with this, we're going to open up to Romans, chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. We're going to talk about meditating upon the Word of God. For this is what Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 says. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And now, let's open up to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. We should know where Joshua is by now. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It is a very sad thing that One of Christianity's most fundamental principles is forgotten. Meditation upon the Word of God. So many Christians do not meditate upon God's Word. Rarely do I hear it spoken. And it's even sadder that this idea of meditation has been placed upon other religious cults. Whenever you hear of the word meditation, you think of immediately Buddhism or atheists in yoga. But 100 years ago, meditation was very common in the Christian family. The Puritans spoke very much of meditation. They were very proud supporters of meditation. And so this weapon and the shield that we have, the Word of God, meditation, must be used to, it's almost like a bee that gets the fruit from the flower. And our meditation is like the bee that just keeps getting the fruit from the Word of God. We read it, we study it, we must ponder upon it. So meditation and its importance. First of all, what is meditation and why is it important? Meditation, the word actually means, is a period of time where one would keep his mind focused on a particular topic. For instance, Buddhists, they have mindless, if that's even hard to imagine, mindless meditation. They empty their mind, they become one with the world, they become one with the nature, they become one with their surroundings and so forth. They have a mindless meditation where they release everything that's inside them and they become one with energy. Islam, they meditate upon the Quran and whatever Allah tells them. And Christianity, like I mentioned, it's a meditation upon His Word, as Joshua here says. Meditate day and night upon the law. Meditation is a detachment from sin. That's where we could learn from Buddhists and yoga. They have a detachment from their mind. We have a detachment from sin. We detach ourselves from sin and we attach ourselves to God. We attach ourselves to God and His Word. We attach ourselves to God and our neighbors. The world meditates to empty its mind. Christians are to fill their minds. How often do we read in Scripture, Apostle Paul says, fill your minds with the knowledge of God. So for Christians, meditation, according to Apostle Paul, is setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. And Jesus says that what is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. John 3:6. So only those who are born of the Spirit can understand the things of the Spirit. Only in the meditation of the Word of God, which is spiritual, the Word of God is a spiritual book. It cannot be understood simply by just reading. You cannot just read it simply with an open mind and just have God just release everything to you. Absolutely not. It is a spiritual book. God needs to open your eyes in order for you to understand it. The Pharisees, how much knowledge of the Scriptures did they have? And yet they didn't understand it. Jesus says, the Scriptures speak of me. And did they understand who he was? Absolutely not. And so only in the meditation of the Word of God, which is spiritual, is there a knowledge of the true God and the way of salvation. Only in the meditation of God's Word can we know who God is and the way of salvation. And this is in 2 Timothy 3:15. It is not in Buddhism. It is not in universalism. I believe that's the term that people are using, where the power of thought is involved, where when somebody says, I think things to happen. I want a new car, so I think very hard upon it, and I get a new car. I think I'm hungry, and so the food comes to me. I think, you know, and it happens, the power of thought. So meditation upon anything else other than God's Word is like groaning about the past. It's like remembering about the past and groaning about the past. It does you no good. It does you no good, but leads you astray and into the deep woods of deception. You're only going to be deceived. You're only going to be depressed if you think about anything else but the Word of God. Because at the end, it's all emptiness. It's all mist. You just try to grab it and it's not there. But the Word of God is the only thing that promises salvation. And so why meditate? Why set your minds on the things above? We are on this world. Shouldn't we think about this world? There's this phrase that people say, you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You could say it the other way around. You're so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. And so examination is one of the key principles why we should meditate upon the Word of God. Examine ourselves. Apostle Paul here says that those who meditate or set their minds on the things of the Spirit are spiritual. We are to examine ourselves to see if we are truly believers. When we think about the Word of God, when we ponder about the Word of God, is it joyous? Do we have a love for the Word of God? If you read Psalms 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You cannot have such a love just by reading the Word of God. You must meditate upon the Word of God. It is like honey to your soul. Do you constantly meditate upon the things of heaven? Do you constantly meditate upon the things of the Spirit? Or perhaps like this businessman who thought about his business, who thought about prosperous things. And then at the end, everything would be lost, including his own soul. And so examination is the key principle, one of the key principles of meditation. Are you spiritual? If you are meditating upon the Word of God, he says you are believers. You have no condemnation. You are children of God. Notice that he has a comparison. He has a contrast here in these verses. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. So if your mind is on the things of the flesh, you'll live according to the flesh. And then if you notice in verse 7, but the carnal mind is enmity against God. So if your mind is on the things of the flesh, God is your enemy. And so while those who do not meditate are not spiritually minded, they set their minds on the things of the flesh and are carnally minded, which is death. And so we could ask this question again. Why meditate? Or better yet, Do you meditate upon the living words of God? Psalm again, 119, verse 11. It says this. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. One of the other reasons why we meditate is purify our hearts to present ourselves clean. Christ is the King who rules our hearts. We meditate upon the things of heaven because He is the one who has done it. And so we purify ourselves through the Word of God. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Or just two verses down, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? The million-dollar question. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And so meditation upon God's word allows us to examine ourselves and to see if we are in the faith. It allows us to see if we're in the faith, and it purifies us. Hebrews, the famous verse, chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It purifies our thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so, let me ask you, what do you meditate about? Do you meditate about fleshly things, worldly things, things that are pleasurable to the flesh, pleasurable to the eyes? Most people, as often as I have talked to people about meditation upon the Word of God, they often meditate about heaven. That is probably the number one meditational topic that people meditate about is heaven. And yet, sadly, not everyone will enter it. Heaven is on everyone's mind. It's everyone's favorite, but not everyone will make it. Paul Washer once said, I could tell you who your God is by asking you one question. One question, I could tell you who your God is. What do you think about most? What do you think about most that is your God? How about thinking about hell, sin, the wrath of God? How about meditating upon those things? Judgment and mercy, how they both meet together at the cross. Abraham, when he was stopped from killing his son, but no one stopped God's hand from killing his son. The attributes of God, the faithfulness of God, he cannot deny himself. Sinfulness of sin, the fall. Do we meditate upon the doctrines in scriptures? Do we meditate upon verses in the Bible? Do we memorize the Bible? Thomas Watson, a great Puritan, wrote, "A Christian without meditation is like a soldier without arms, or a workman without tools. Without meditation, the truths of God will not stay with us. The heart is hard, and the memory is slippery. And without meditation, all is lost." Thomas Manton, another Puritan, says about meditation, "The reason we come away so cold from reading the Word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation." Oh, it's morning. Let's get my daily reading of Bible for 5 minutes, and I'll head out the door, and I'll remember anything that I read. That was my attitude before I came here. With the new year coming along, many of you have noticed about yourselves, as I have noticed previous years, that I haven't gained much of anything in the past year regarding Scripture, regarding heavenly things, regarding spiritual things, regarding the knowledge of Christ. I haven't understood anything. I haven't gained anything. I haven't studied the Word of God. I hadn't memorized any verses. There's no improvement. I'm not sure if that could be you or not, if you memorized this past year that has flew by. Have you memorized anything? Have you gained anything? Have you gained anything from the sermons that were preached to you? Are you growing in God's truth? Or are you just continuing to say to yourself later? There will be a time later. I will remember. I will get married. I'll settle down, or you know, so forth, whatever excuse people may say. Me working in the medical field, I see death often. A whole year flew by, and how many people have died? How many people have been shot? How many people have been hit by a car? How many people have been hit and run? There's thousands. Almost every week, there's a patient that's hit by a car and the car runs. And so there's so many young people that are dying. And you know, it's interesting that the devil may be prohibiting you from meditating on the words of God because he doesn't want you to examine yourself. Maybe he doesn't want you to examine yourself because if you do, you will know that you are empty. And then you will call upon the name of the Lord, and by God's grace, you will be saved. But that will not happen if you do not meditate upon God's word. And so my wish for this year is for us to meditate upon the word of God, to study the word of God, to absorb everything that the word of God says. May his word be blessed. Amen.